coming out of Copy Hour, I've been focused on growing my business. And to hit that 100K mark, I was focused on two things. Working with, like, the best clients possible, people who are willing to pay more and more often for high-quality work. Mm-hmm. And hand-in-hand with that, raising my rates. So I'm charging rates that are equivalent to the value I can provide to my clients. And through that, I've been able to develop some nice long-term relationships. So I'm not hopping from client to client, but instead moving from project to project with a small group of clients and hit my revenue target for the year.
What is that revenue target for you?
Perfect. I'm happy to share what I can. There were two targets coming into this year. The first one is I wanted to hit my first $10,000 month, and I did that in July, and it was epic to finally hit it.
Awesome.
And the second one was hitting a $100,000 run rate for the year. So with the clients I have booked up, we're in August right now. I'm projecting to cross that target right on schedule.
That's awesome. And so what are you doing? What's the business? What is the Kai Davis business?
Good question. So I'm focused on providing boutique, high-end, high-touch services to my clients in two areas. Search engine optimization services, so helping them get found online and get more traffic. And the flip side is copywriting services for sales pages, landing pages, and product descriptions. Once we have that traffic, well, it's got to go somewhere. So let's make sure we have content that speaks to your audience, clearly tells your story, and gets them motivated to move forward to buy or to enter their information.
And are you doing all of this stuff yourself? Are you working with other providers for the SEO stuff? And are you actually doing the copywriting too?
I'm actually handling both. A couple years ago, I had worked with a few other providers, and I decided subcontracting out the work just wasn't the direction I wanted to take. I couldn't guarantee quality. I couldn't guarantee turnaround. And I ended up working with clients who had lower expectations. So I decided since I want to just work with the best, I'm providing the services myself, working with a really small group of clients. But that way, I'm able to provide high-quality services, stay independent, stay nimble, and make sure that they're getting the best work they can.
Great. So let's go all the way back, like before any of this happened. What's your background? What's your story? How'd you get into consulting?
About 4 years ago, I was working as the director of marketing for a large company in Oregon, and it was a great company. It was a great position. But after a year, I just decided the corporate culture wasn't for me. So I decided to take a big leap and switch from day-to-day director of marketing role, managing some people, making sure the deliverables were in on time, to something I'd just been hustling on the side. I'd done some basic WordPress web development. I had done a little bit of consulting, and I said, hey, you know what? The monthly expenses are kind of low. I'm young. Let's take a big risk here and just jump. And I jumped, managed to land, picked up a few small clients, and was making like $40 an hour, which for me was a huge win since I left a position where I was making 20 bucks an hour.
Yeah, 40 bucks an hour is a big leap for a lot of people. You know,
that's a
good amount of money for someone coming out of the environment you're talking about. So anyways, keep going. Roll on.
Definitely. So, I mean, like we just said, it was a huge win for me. It felt like, whoa, I didn't expect to make this money till I was mid-30s, late-30s. And now I was working with people, slowly stumbling my way through, and was able to take that and say, hey, I'm making enough money. I want to move to Honolulu. Jumped on a plane, moved over to Honolulu, lived there for 6 months. And right about the time I was ending my lease in Honolulu, I decided to move back to Oregon. And I realized I wasn't really happy with the consulting services I was providing or the clients I was working with, because of three key reasons. I didn't have focus for what I was working towards. I didn't have a habit or consistency in the services I was providing. Some were service A, some were service B, some were service C. And it just wasn't the best fit for me. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I realized what I really needed to do was find a way to practice the skills I wanted to provide before I started providing them, and then find that first client. And the thing that was most attractive to me at the time was copywriting. And sort of out of synchronicity, I stumbled on Copy Hour.
Originally, when you moved to Honolulu, and it's weird, it seems like a bunch of Copy Hour people go to Hawaii at some point or another. I don't know why that is. There's something appealing about the tropical angle and the copywriting in states or something, I guess. But so you went over there and you started working. How'd you get the first initial clients before you came back to Oregon and kind of retooled your business?
Right at the beginning when I was starting, it was a lot of networking, a lot of hitting up my personal network and saying, hey, this is the kind of thing I'm doing right now. do you know anybody who could use these services?
Okay.
And I lucked into a former employer who needed the web development WordPress skills I was providing, and we were able to start a relationship. And outside of that, it was just being very forthcoming and saying, hey, do you know of people in your network who need this type of stuff done? I could help with that. Let's set up a meeting.
Okay.
So it really was on me to push it forward.
So you started with that, and you started with kind of the web development stuff first, and then from there you realized that you wanted to move into something different, get a different type of clientele. At the same time, you moved back to Oregon, to Portland, and kind of retooled the business, joined Copy Hour, and went from there. How long ago was that?
Let me take a quick look at my calendar. That was about 18 months ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so at that point, you sat down and said, I need to develop these skills. How long did it take you to get that confidence to go out there and say, okay, I can start providing the copywriting, the copywriting services that I know that I can provide or I want to provide to clients? How long did it take you? What was that process like?
You know, it's crazy. I think I landed my first copywriting client within the first 30 days of joining Copy Hour. And for me, it was more of a mental victory than becoming an expert at the skill. Going through Copy Hour, I learned, hey, it's not, when somebody creates a great bit of copy, it's not from the heavens. It's not magic. They're following a process. They're following a formula. They're drawing on existing resources. And I was able to say, well, hey, I'm getting an understanding of what this looks like. I'm going to go to a client, a potential client I see out there and say, hey, you need services like this. I'm able to provide it. I priced myself drastically low because I think it was like $100 for a simple sales page. But I just wanted that wind under my belt to say, hey, somebody has trusted me enough to pay me money for these services. And, you know, it was kind of a win. They liked it. I liked it. I was able to deliver on this. And from there, I was able to scale up the rates, scale up the deliverables, and scale up the quality I was presenting.
Awesome. So you scaled from 100 to now, do you have kind of a set base rate that you know, you'll only take a project for that amount, or is it kind of fluid based on the project itself?
I've been really into the whole concept of productized consulting over the last 6 months. So moving from a consultant who says, hey, I can provide the service, it's this rate an hour or a day, to, hey, I'm a consultant, this is a fixed product I can provide for you for a fixed rate. So right now, middle of August, my price for a sales page starts at $1,000 for the content only and scales up depending on how many revisions they need or what additional services they think they need to tack on. But I'm focused on providing that fixed rate deliverable.
Okay. And so are you allowing clients to come to you in a way that you have a website and your rates are published, or are you going out kind of actively seeking clients and then providing them with that rate card, or, you know, what's your process like?
I've been going out and actively seeking them,
okay,
but that's about to change. The only reason I haven't stuck it up on my website is I wanted to smoke test that productized service first, see, hey, are people willing to pay for it? Are people getting value for it before I put it up publicly? But end of August, I'm going to be launching it on my site with a big old buy now button.
Awesome. And have people been pretty receptive to the rates that you're asking?
They really have been. I've been focused on, before I go into a negotiation or an initial meeting, I'm focused on understanding the value in their business to say, hey, if you're selling widgets for $5 each, we're going to need to sell a ton of widgets for you to even break even. Maybe this isn't the best fit. Or, hey, you're selling widgets for $500 each, we're going to need to sell 2 widgets for you to break even, then everything else is gravy. So by coming into the conversation, understanding where the money comes from, where the value comes from in their business, and how my services can generate more value for them, it makes it a lot easier to justify whatever price I want to put on there. With the right client, I'm sure I could say, hey, you know what? I think I could increase your sales by this much. You're selling widgets for $1,000 each. My service is $5,000 for you, and we'll break even in a month. And at that point, how can a client say, you know, I don't want to drastically improve my business?
Go back to, 30 days after you joined Copy Hour. There was, I guess, the turning point in your mind was something clicked at that point after 30 days where you realized that you could do this, and you went out there and you got a job for $100, to write a sales page. What were, after that point, what were the first couple jobs like? How did you get those first couple jobs?
first couple of jobs were, I'm dredging back in my memory here. I think the first couple of jobs were like rewrites of existing landing pages for clients who said, hey, I took a first stab at this. It's not as good as it could be. I want a professional. I want an expert to come in and help improve it. So in terms of complexity, they were pretty simple. How did I get them? I just reached out to people in my network, people I knew on LinkedIn or friends of friends saying, I'm providing these copywriting services. This is who my client looks like. This is who I really want to work with. Do you know of somebody who falls into that description? And I was lucky enough that friends started responding back saying, hey, you know, I do know somebody. Let me connect them with you. And I got a few calls, a few meetings out of that, and a few clients down the line from that.
How did you come up with your ideal client?
I thought about who could afford to pay the rates that I was charging and who had a business that would match up with the value I was providing. So I started focusing early on e-commerce companies or people selling physical or digital products because I knew they had that immediate value. They have the sales page up. They're going to be selling stuff. If I focused on, say, a service provider who wasn't directly selling through their website or somebody who didn't have that direct profit connection, it'd be harder for them to understand how my services would work for them. So I just wanted to move them out of my ideal client. So it really was just focusing in on who do I think can afford me? Who do I think would get value from this? And picking an area and just going for it. I remember way early on, I said, hey, I want to provide services just to dentists. So I sent out a couple letters. I cold called a couple dentists and it wasn't a fit. But that opened my eyes to saying, hey, let's just pick one area, one audience first, target that. And if it doesn't hit, move on to audience number two. But if it does hit, perfect.
Were you nervous approaching those businesses? And I ask this question because a lot of times Ed and myself will find that people try to go after the startup, the person that doesn't actually have any income coming in or doesn't have any revenue coming in, basically just because they're afraid of approaching somebody that's got what they perceive to be a successful business. Were you a little bit nervous approaching these businesses that you thought had the money that could pay you? What was that like for you?
That's a great question. I actually wasn't that nervous because early on I had this thought that if they have money, they're going to be spending money anyways. And if they're spending money, I mean, what's the fully loaded cost of an employee? $60,000, $80,000, $100,000. I'm coming in and saying, hey, here's a service at $500, $1,000, $1,500. It's going to be a drop in the bucket to a business that's already making money. When I have worked with startups, it's been like getting blood out of a stone. They have no money. Even if my services are very affordably priced, they still can't afford it. It was easier to target larger companies who have income, who have that cash flow, because I'm just scooping out a tiny piece of it and providing value instead of scooping out a huge chunk. I've worked with companies who say, hey, great, your service is $1,000. That's our marketing budget for the quarter. And that's not my ideal client at all because there's no chance of a follow-up project. And they're going to be betting everything on this one project. I want to work with a client who says, hey, you know what? Our marketing budget for the month is $15,000. This is just one piece of what we're testing. I'm like, great. There's so much room here for our relationship to grow. And you're not going to be putting all your eggs in Kai's basket. So it's a little less risky for me.
Awesome. And so how do you get in front of the people that are actually going to make the decision to hire you? Are you dealing with a lot of receptionists and secretaries? How do you get past the gatekeepers in a business?
You know, I don't have a good answer to that because I've always been lucky enough to connect with the directors, the managers, or the owners. Okay. I've never really had a stumbling block with a gatekeeper.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, it's funny. That's another thing that, you know, we hear all the time is people are really worried about talking to the secretary versus actually getting in front of the owner. And I've found the inverse to be true. It's a lot of times you're going to be, you know, if you're out there actively doing this, you're going to be talking to the owners and the people that are able to make the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, you know, after these first couple jobs started rolling in, have you noticed a snowball effect? You said that you've continued to work with the same clients and kind of do work project to project with the same clients versus, you know, expanding and getting more and more different clients. So have you noticed kind of a snowball effect with all this or, you know, things kind of growing like one project builds on top of the other?
Absolutely. And I think, and that's what I credit to any success I've had over the last year to, because it's that simple business idea. It's always easier to retain a client, retain a customer, than go out and find a new one. So about 9 months ago, at the end of every project, I decided to push it towards project number two, just by including like a 1 to 2 page sheet saying, hey, you know what? It's been great working with you on the project. Here are 3 ideas for another project we could work on together. Here's the prices. As a next step, let me know what you'd want to work on next. And the first time I sent this out, I expected like no response at all. And he responded back saying, hey, you know what? I'd love to work on project one, project two, and project three over the next 3 months. And I was like, holy shit, this worked? But that was like, yeah, $4,000 of revenue that suddenly solidified my pipeline for the next 3 months. And so from then on, with every client I work on, my end goal is to get them onto a retainer contract with me. So I have steady income coming in each month, and I'm providing a fixed product or a fixed service to them every month, either on the SEO side or the copywriting side. So they're able to know their project queue is under control. We want to rewrite this page, this sales page this month and this one next month. And I'm able to know my revenue is smooth. And it's so much easier managing a consulting business that way. Since instead of saying, hey, great, it's the first of the month, I got to go hustle up 6 new clients. I'm able to say, hey, great, it's the first of the month. Oh, my money just came in. I need to go hustle up 1 new client this month and fulfill these 5 existing clients. The relationships get better. The projects get more interesting. And we get more trust.
How are you staying on top of your projects? And, you know, how are you managing your day? So basically the lifestyle of this. What's a typical day like for you?
I usually wake up at around 6 or 7, have a quick breakfast, go to the gym.
A.M.?
A.M., yes.
A.M., okay.
Right. I'm trying to be an early riser.
No, I am too, but yeah.
Go to the gym. I'm either working out of my home office or out of a cafe or coffee shop by around 9. I'll put in 4 or 5 hours of work, take an hour or two break, and put in another 1 or 2 hours in the evening. I try to lead a very stress-free life. I don't want work driving me forward. I want work supporting me as I have a fun life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's like the 5,000-foot view. In terms of managing projects and managing expectations, there's a couple different strategies, a couple different systems I've tossed around, but really the most impactful thing has been setting expectations with clients, where any project that a client works on me with, I tell them, hey, it's going to be a minimum of 2 to 3 weeks before I could deliver this to you. I don't want to work with clients who say, hey, we need this tomorrow. I want to be able to space out the projects I'm working on and the deliverables I'm creating within my schedule. So by setting that expectation, it lets me say, hey, great, today I'm going to do 3 2-hour blocks on these 3 projects and then cut off. It's sunny. I want to go play in a park. Or, hey, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to take today off. So having that flex time, having that more loose expectation makes it easier for me to prioritize, pick on the context that's appropriate, and move forward.
How were you able to develop this mentality and this mindset that you have right in the beginning, when I'm sure, you know, I don't know if when you came back from Honolulu, how things were financially for you, you know, and what your client base was like at that time, but how were you able to kind of have this clarity on what you should be doing, and then also, you know, just setting these expectations with clients, if you were kind of coming from that position of needing the work versus mm-hmm. now it sounds like you're able to kind of pick and choose what you want to do, and you're in much more of a good power position at the moment than previously. So I forget what my original question is, but you might have heard it.
Sure.
Buried in there somewhere, there's a question. Yeah.
It really clicked when I realized I was stressed because I had so many projects due at the same time. I pulled a couple 12-hour days, say 7 or 8 months ago, and they just wore me out. And I started thinking, man, I feel stressed. I feel depressed. What's going on? Oh, man, these deadlines are impossible. Well, where are these deadlines coming from? And I realized I was always the one setting the deadline. The client would say, when could we get this back? And I'll say, hey, 3 days. But the client was never saying, we're rarely saying we need this back in 3 days. And so I decided just to experiment and say, well, I feel stressed because of these deadlines. The client is looking to me to set the timeline, set the deliverables, set the script, because I'm the expert they're bringing in. What happens if I say it's going to be 3 weeks? And so I just tested it on the next client. I said, hey, great. You've got the project. You've paid. I'll be able to get this back to you for a review in, let's say, 3 weeks. And they said, great, sounds good. Let us know when it's ready. And again, it was one of those, whoa, what's going on? That worked moments. And I just adopted that as a habit. If somebody needs something on a more aggressive schedule, I now have the flexibility to say, great, I could do that. There'll be an additional charge because that's faster than I usually work on these if you want me to prioritize you and my work. But otherwise, it was just by saying, I don't feel good. Where is this negativity coming from? Identifying it and working to resolve whatever the issue was. And I really think, like, why was Kai saying, hey, I'll deliver this in 3 days? Insecurity. I felt that to be a successful consultant, I needed to turn it around in an instant, when the truth was, to be a successful consultant, I just needed to set an expectation with the client and meet that expectation.
How did you gain the confidence with your skills as a consultant? So, you know, what was the moment when you're like, okay, I can really do this? And how do you approach something where you're not really sure whether or not you're going to be able to provide the results you're promising a client?
For the first part, the truth is I still feel a bit of imposter syndrome every day. I wake up, I work on these projects, people are paying me money, and I love it. I'm delivering value to them. But there's that voice in the back of my head that always says, well, how are you any different? What's changed over the past couple of years where you're able to do this to earn a huge multiple of what your hourly wage was back then? And the truth is, like, sometimes I say nothing. And there's that bit of uncertainty. So I think it's natural to feel a bit of, I don't know what I'm doing anywhere along this pathway. It's just by recognizing it and saying, you know, most other people feel this way too. I'm sure the CEO I'm working with wakes up and says, how the hell am I running this company? I don't know what's going to come next. And just acknowledging we all feel that way.
Great. That's awesome.
And you had that second part there. Hey, how do I tackle projects where I don't know if I'm going to be able to meet the deliverable or it's something new I've worked on? I just address it up front with the client. I say, hey, you
know
what?
Manage expectations.
Exactly. This is something that I haven't quite worked on before. Let's set a goal, but let's make sure we acknowledge that this will be a new experience.
Great. So any other lessons that you want to impart? Any other takeaways that you've realized over the last few months?
There's two major ones. For any people in copy hour, any new consultants, anybody who's thinking about consulting, I think the two major takeaways are raise your rates. Like, do it today. Next time you talk to a client, you're charging $500 a day for your deliverable at least. Don't focus on an hourly rate. Don't focus on undercharging. The value you're going to be providing, even fresh out of the gate, is worth at least $500 to a company. Price yourself there, be confident, charge for a day's worth of work, and it'll make it so much easier as you grow. And the second part is target businesses. Don't target the small startups. Don't target the individuals who say, oh, I have this great idea. Target people who already have cash flow, who are already spending money, and who are already investing. It'll be so much easier for you to grow your business.
Any markets that you could just throw out there that you think would be good for people to approach? These types of businesses?
I look for business. The way... One trick I advise consultants on and I used early on was looking at local web development agencies and seeing who's in their portfolio. Because if somebody just drops, say, $5,000 on a new website, they're spending money. They're willing to invest in copywriting, in online marketing tools. And chances are the web development agency like doesn't provide SEO or doesn't provide copywriting. So there's an ability to reach out and say, hey, you just bought this website. It's beautiful. Your copy could use some help. Let's have a meeting and I could tell you how I could add value to your business. So it's not so much a niche or an audience, but looking for people who are actively spending money is the easiest way to determine who's willing to spend money tomorrow.
And if you were going to do some lead gen and try and actually approach a company that you see on one of these websites, what would be your first step? What would be the first action that you would take?
I treat it as if I was applying for a job within the company. I'd read the different content on the site. I'd try to get a perspective of who works there, what they do, what they sell, where the value is. So I'm able to step into that first phone call or that first meeting and understand their business. I've already qualified them by saying, hey, they look interesting. Oh, they're selling widgets for $100 each or $1,000 each. I think they have enough revenue where I could provide value. So in that meeting, I'm already able to speak as if I know the business instead of not knowing anything. It's a lot easier to cold call a business when you speak their language or at least start to understand their language than when you know nothing about them. So do the research first. Spend 20 or 30 minutes making sure that they're somebody you want to work with and understanding their business before you pick up the phone or send them that first email.
And so, I mean, have you done much cold emailing or cold calling? Or, I mean, it sounds like you've gotten a lot of your stuff kind of through referrals and that way, your
probably
own personal networking.
Most of it is through personal networking. Early on, I did a bit of cold email, a tiny, tiny bit of cold calling, but I've never been really jazzed up to do the cold calling. But it's always benefited me to understand their business first, even when it's a referral coming into me. Before I respond to them, I make sure to check out their website, spend 15 or 20 minutes reading through it, so I'm able to start asking questions as soon as we're on the call instead of letting them just interrogate me.
All right, so what about networking tips that you might have or building up that personal network?
In terms of?
In terms of, you know, you've got most of your clients through kind of your personal network and through referrals, so you know, how did you start initially building that network and, you know, how'd you get out there and start meeting people?
I started off just with the people I already knew in my network from my day job, from my personal connections,
okay. And
letting them know, hey, this is something I'm providing. Once I had those first couple of clients under my belt, I made sure to schedule a time in our first few meetings to say, hey, my business depends on referrals. My business depends on satisfied clients telling their friends about me. I'd love it if at the end of this engagement, you could refer me to three business owners you know who could use the services I'm providing. And from that, they don't always deliver three, but one or two leads out of a handful of clients has led to future work down the line. So explicitly asking for it, making the time, telling the client you appreciate referrals, and hounding them politely until you get them.
Yeah, it's the same experience Ed was relating. And some of the materials in the cartel, same type of deal. Mm-hmm. With going after referrals. So cool. I mean, you know, and that's what you're describing is essentially what I've done. I mean, I haven't done a ton of consulting work. That's why I brought Ed on. But when I do it always comes through referrals, and it's always because of the networks that I've built. And it's just great to hear it from everybody else seems to have similar experiences. So for you, you know, what's next? Where are things headed for you? Are you going to build out this consulting business as big as you can go? What are your goals?
When it comes to the consulting business, I'd rather build it up than build it wide. So I'd rather progressively work with clients who could afford a higher price for the value I'm delivering than build out a team of copywriters or a team of consultants under me. I don't want to manage people. I learned that 2 years ago, and I'm intentionally not heading in that direction.
Okay.
But in terms of business overall, I've loved the productized consulting I'm doing. And over the next year, I want to take that next step and focus on building small informational products and using those to supplement the income. Over the next few years, make that transition completely from, hey, I'm providing consulting services to, hey, I'm selling products. It frees up my time more. It lets me spend my time working on my business instead of always working on clients' businesses. And it's just more interesting to me, more shiny.
Awesome. And that's the path that I think it should head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a consultant is it, over time you start to realize that you could be creating your own products and have your own business there cranking away.
Mm-hmm.
Versus doing it for clients. Cool. So is there a website we can check you out at? Where do people need to go? Because people are going to want to buy your products in the near future.
Hey, if people
I
want
can
to
tell.
Oh, thank you. If people want to check me out, they can go to my website, kaidavis.com, KAIDAVIS.com, or follow me on Twitter. I'm Kai S. Davis.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure being in Copy Hour, and I hope this helps the next generation.
I think it will. Thank you.
Have a great day.